B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to start learning brachas daf samach beis. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learnt in a brisa. Omer b'akiva, pam achas nichnasti achar Rabbi Yeshua lebeis hakisei. I once entered after Rabbi Yeshua when he went into the bathroom to relieve himself. V'lomadati mimenu shloisha dvarim. I learnt from him three halachas. Number one, lomadati she'ein nifnin mizrach u'mayrev elotzofen v'dorim. He was in Yehuda, and we saw in the Gemara on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis that in Yehuda, when one relieves oneself, one should be positioned between Tzofen and Dorim, north and south, and not between east and west. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua did. A second halacha, V'lomadati she'ein nifroin mu'umud ela miyushuv, that one would first sit down, and only then he would expose himself, and he would not expose himself while still standing. And the third halacha, v'lamadati she'ein mekanchin b'yamin elo b'smoil, that when he would wipe himself clean with his left hand and not with his right hand. Omar lui ben Azai asked Rebbe Akiva, ad kan he'azta ponecho b'rabcho? That was a very bold thing to do. How did you have the boldness to go to behind your Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua, into the bathroom? Omalei Rabbi Akiva said to Ben Azai, Toirehi v'lilmoid anitzorich, learning how to conduct oneself even in the bathroom is Torah, and I need to learn it. I need to study Torah, and therefore I went to see what the halacha was. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, we learnt in another brisa. Ben Azai Oimir, Ben Azai this time said, Pamachas nichnasti achar Rabbi Akiva lebeis hakisei. Before it was Rabbi Akiva who went into the Beis Hakisei after Rabbi Yeshua, and Ben Azai was wondering how he could do this, and now Ben Azai himself followed his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva into the Beis Hakisei, v'lamadti mimenu shloisha dvarim, and he learnt those very same three things from his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva. Lomadati she'ein nifnin mizrach mayrev ela tzofen dorim, v'lomadati she'ein nifroim umod ela miyushov, v'lomadati she'ein mekanchim b'yamin ela b'smoil. All these same three halachas that Rabbi Akiva saw from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Azai saw with his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, and the Mefarshim ask why Ben Azai followed his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, after he already knew from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, that he had seen those halachas from Rabbi Yeshua. But either way, Omar loy Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to Ben Azai, Ad kan e'az topanecho barabcho, how did you have the brazenness and the boldness to go behind your Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, into the bathroom? Omar loy Ben Azai said to him, Toirehi v'lilmoid anitzorich, the halachas of how to conduct oneself in the bathroom, the halachas of tznius are also Torah, and I needed to learn it, so I went in to see what he was doing. Continues the Gemara, Rav Kahana ol gno tusei puriei de Rav. Rav Kahana was lying under the bed of Rav. Shamei desoch v'sochak v'osot tzrochov. He heard how Rav spoke very fondly with his wife, and he was laughing with her, and only then he continued and was intimate with her. Omar Lei, from under the bed, Rav Kahana said to his Rebbe, to Rav, Domi pumei de Abba. From the way that you, Rav, who was called Abba, are talking, it seems kedeloi sharif tavshila, as if you're so hungry that you've never swallowed any food. Omar loy, Rav said to him, Kahana hocha at, Kahana, are you here in my bedroom at this point? Puk delav erech ara, leave the room. It's inappropriate for you to be here at this time. Omar loy, Rav Kahana said to him, Toirehi v'lil moedani tzorich. Even in these intimate matters, it's Torah. I need to know how to conduct oneself. Therefore, I was hiding under your bed to see how to conduct oneself. Continues the Gemara. Mipneima ein mekanchim b'yamin elo b'smoil. We saw before that Rabbi Akiva saw from Rabbi Yeshua, and in turn Ben Azai saw by Rabbi Akiva, that they would wipe themselves clean with the left hand, not with the right hand. Why? Omar Rava. When Hashem gave the Torah, he gave it with his right hand. Shenemar, as it says, Miminoi Eish Dos Lomoi. From his right hand, the fire of the law was given to them. And therefore, we give honor to the right hand, and we don't use it to wipe oneself after moving bowels. Rabba Bar Bar Chono Omar, Mipnei Shei Kroivo Lepeh, since the right hand is the one that is much closer to the mouth, it's used for eating, and therefore it's inappropriate to risk dirtying one's hands in such a fashion. Rab Shimon Ben Lokish Omar, Mipnei Shei Kosher Bar Tfilin, because he uses his right hand to tie the tefillin onto his left arm, and since he uses the right hand for such a mitzvah, he should not use his right hand to wipe himself clean. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Omar, Mipnei Shemare Bo Taimei Torah. And Rashi explains that it was a custom in Eretz Yisrael that the person standing next to the Baal Torah who was reading from the Torah would use his right hand to sign which ta'amim, which tunes and which punctuation to use. And since he used his hands to express Ta'amei Torah, the tune of the Torah, it's inappropriate to use the same hand to wipe oneself. Says the Gemara Ketanoi, there's actually a Machlokes Tanoim discussing this point. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mipnei She'Oichel Bo. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't use the right hand to wipe yourself with because you use it to eat with. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mipnei She'Kosev Bo. Rabbi Yeshua says that you would write either Chidushei Torah or Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzos. You would use it to write, and since you are writing holy things with it, you should not use it to wipe oneself. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mipnei She'Mare Bo Ta'amei Torah, because one uses one's right hand to show the Baal Keira, the Tamim of the Torah, therefore it's inappropriate to use it for wiping oneself. Omer of Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, Kol Atzonua Bebeis Hakise, anyone who is modest in the bathroom, Nitzel Mishloisha Dvorim, he saves from three things, Min HaNechoshim, from snakes, Min HaKravim, from the scorpions, or Min HaMazikim, and from all sorts of spirits that are frequent themselves in the bathrooms, especially in the times of Chazal, where the bathrooms were away in out in the fields, and therefore there was more of a risk. And Rashi explains that snakes and scorpions, they get aroused when there's a lot of noise, when people are speaking to each other and people are very rough. But somebody who is in the bathroom bitsnius and he's covering himself, he's not making a noise, then the scorpions and the snakes do not get aroused and do not pose a danger. V'yesh oimrim, some say, af chalei moisov miyushovim alof, that his dreams are calming to him, and these spirits, not only will they not hurt him, but they will also not confuse him with his dreams. Continues the Gemara, hahu beis hakisei dehavi b'tveria. There was a certain beis hakisei in Tveria, ki hava aile beitrei, afilu b'yamoma. If even two people would go in together, and we've seen previously at the beginning of the Masechta that two people are less at risk of being harmed by the spirits. In the daytime is less of a time where the spirits cause harm. And in that particular Beis Hakise in Tveria, even when two people would go in together, even in the middle of the day, mitzake, they would be harmed. However, Reb Ami, Reb Asi, Ava'ai lebei, chad v'chad l'chudei v'lei mitzaki. Reb Ami and Reb Asi, they went in on their own, one by one, not together, and they were not harmed. Omru lu Rabbonon, the Chachomim asked them, loy mistafisu? Were you not afraid to go in there? Omru lu, they answered back, anan kabola gomrinon. We have a tradition from our Chachomim. Kabola de beis hakisei, tzni'usa ushtikusa. If there is modesty in the way one dresses and the way one relieves oneself, and silence, and one doesn't talk in the Beis Hakisei, that means one goes in on one's own, and therefore one is not revealed, the private parts are not revealed to anybody else, there's no second person in there at the same time, and there's no one else to talk to, then that is called Kabbalah de Beis Hakisei Tzni'usa Shtikusa, and preserving that tradition and keeping the halachas of Tznius and Shtika in the Beis Hakisei protects them. And by the way, they also learned Kabbalah de Yusura, the tradition of the way to receive suffering is Shtikusa, number one, silence, don't complain, umibei rachme, and to daven to Hashem for rachmonas, for mercy. Continues the Gemara, Abaya merabye le imei imro. Abaya's mother, and this is a bit hard to understand because we know that Abaya didn't have a mother, he was an orphan from very, very young, so it's obviously whoever was taking care of him that raised a sheep, an Imro is a sheep, Lemeal ba'adei lebeis hakisei, to go with him into the bathroom, because it was common practice not to go into the bathroom totally on one's own. It was, one would be more at risk of being harmed by the spirits that are there. Ula asks the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Le Gadya, why did she raise a sheep and not a goat? Says the Gemara, So'ir besoir michlaf. A goat is called a so'ir, and the name of the spirit, the bad spirit that is often found in the bathroom, is also called Seir, and therefore there would be some confusion between the two, and therefore a goat could not act as a protection when going into a bathroom. Continues the Gemara, Rava mikame dehava reisha. Rava, before he became a Rosh Hashiva, mekarka sholei bas Rav Chisda, his wife, who was the daughter of Rav Chisda, we've seen this already, she would make a noise, a rattle, amguza belakna, a walnut in some copper type of container, and he would bang them, make a noise, and that way the snakes and the demons and any other spirits that were there would be afraid and would keep away from him. Bosar de Molach, after he became a Rosh Hashiva, and now he needed even more protection than before. This is also something we've seen, that Talmidei Chachomim need more protection than regular people. Of Dolei, then his wife made Kavsa, a window between the home and the place where he would relieve himself, which was just beyond the wall of the home. Umanchale Yoda Aresha, when he would go to the other side of the wall to relieve himself, she could not see, his private parts were not exposed to her, but she could put her hand out of that window and put her hand onto his head, and that way it would act as added protection for him. Continues the Gemara, Omar Ula, Achire Hagodir Nifno Miyad. If somebody is behind the wall, he cannot be seen, he does not need to remove himself and distance himself even further from the wall. He can relieve himself and move his bowels even if he's right there, even if the people on the other side of the wall can hear him passing gas and any other noises. Ubabika, however, if he's not behind a wall, if he's in an open area, kolzman shemisatesh ve'en chaveiro shemia, he has to distance himself till the point that his friend cannot hear passing gas or any other noises that are happening, but he does not have to distance himself to the extent that he cannot be seen. As long as he cannot be heard, it's sufficient. Isi Barnosan Masni Hocha. Isi Barnosan learnt this halocha a bit differently. Achire Agodir, behind the wall, Kolzman Shemis Atish Vein Chaviri Shemir. Besides of being behind the wall, he has to distance himself until he cannot be heard. Ubabiko, but in an open area, Kolzman Shein Chaviri Roy Ehu. He has to go far enough until his friend cannot see him. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to ask a question on Isi Barnosan from a Mishnah. We know the halacha is that people would be very careful to eat their chulin, even regular food, betaira. Now, the way they did this was that there was a shomer that would make sure during the pressing of the olives that no am ha'oretz would come in and contaminate the oil, the olives and the oil. What happens if this shomer, this guard, needed to leave the premises for a few minutes to relieve himself, and at this point there's nobody watching, that an am ha'oretz would not come in? So the Mishnah says as follows, Yotzin mipesach beis habad, he goes outside the olive press, v'nifnim la'achiri ha'godir, v'hein tohirim, they can relieve themselves immediately behind the wall, and therefore it would not take him very long, it would be just a few moments that he's out there, and v'hein tohirim, and we can assume that no amorets came in these few moments, and the olives are still tohir. So you see from here that one can go just behind the wall and relieve oneself, even though one could hear what was going on. And this seems to contradict Isi Barnosan that says that you have to go far enough that you cannot be heard. Says the Gemara, but Tyrus Ikilu, since he was there to protect the Tyrus, that no Amoritz should come, the Chachomim therefore said that he could be makel, he could be lenient, and he did not have to go further away from the press. Toshima, now the Gemara is going to come take town with the second halach of Isi Ben Yehuda, if you're in an open area. Kama yirchaku v'yu tohirim. How far is this guard allowed to go, and the olives will still remain tohir? Kadei sheyehei roi ehu. as long as he can see what the people in the press, it's enough because he can keep an eye on them. So you see from there that even though he's going further away, he's not behind the wall, nonetheless they could see each other. And Issy ben Yehuda said that in an open area, if they can see each other, it's a problem. And you're not allowed to relieve oneself that way. Says the Gemara, Shani oich l'tayres dekilu barabonon, the same answer as we saw before, that since this is for the sake of making sure that the tayres stay tohir, therefore the Chachomim were lenient and said that as long as he can still see them, it's enough, he does not have to go further away than that to relieve himself. Ravashi answered this question a bit differently. This that Issi ben Yehuda said, that if you're in an open area, you have to be far enough that your friend can't see him. Issi ben Yehuda, it just means that he has to go far enough that his friend cannot see his exposed parts. There's nothing wrong with seeing the rest of his body. And that's what the Mishnah said, that if he's far enough that they can see each other, even then it's okay, that the olives are still tahir, and it's not a contradiction to Issi bar Nosson, because it doesn't mean that they could see his exposed parts. It was enough that they could see each other, they could have eye contact, and he would see that no Amei Haaretz were coming in. Continues the Gemara. Hahu savdono denochis kameidu of Nachman. There was a certain masbid. Somebody was giving a hesped for somebody, and Rav Nachman was present when he was giving the hesped. Omar, this person giving the hesped, said an eulogy about the person, the nifter that was lying there. Hay tzanua b'orchos of Hava. He said this person that had passed away was very modest in his ways. Omar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to him, to this person giving the hesped, At ayalt b'hadele b'isakisei v'yodato itzanua iloy. You went with him into the bathroom to see whether he was modest or not. How can you say that he was modest? You don't know. D'tanya, we saw in a brisa, in koirin tzanua elo lemisha tzanua b'isakisei. A person can only be called a modest person, a tzanua, if he's modest in the bathroom. Rav Nachman, my nafkeleminei. Why did Rav Nachman find it so important to correct this person giving the hesped? So maybe it was an exaggeration. So what? What's the problem? The Gemara explains. Mishum detanya, we learnt in a brisa, kashem shenifroim min amesim, in the same way as a dead person actually gets punished if somebody praises him falsely. That also the people who exaggerated on his virtues that he didn't have, and the people who say after him that they agree with what the safdon, what this person's hesped was, they also get punished. So if Nachman was trying to protect also the niftah and also the person giving the hesped and the people that were present, that they should not get punished. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbonon, Ezeu Tzanua. Who is called a Tzanua, a modest person? Ze anifne balaylo b'mokim shenifne bayoim. Just in the same way as by day, where there's a lot of people around the inhabited areas, he would distance himself and go out of the town, out of the city to relieve himself. So too, if at night somebody has to relieve himself, he goes to the same place as he would during the day, even though during the day it's justified because there are many people around. In the night it's dark, less people around, people can't see, so one would have thought that he can relieve himself much closer to home. A tzanua is somebody who distances himself even in the night. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is that so? V'omer Reb Yehuda Marav, lo'oilom yanig odom et atzmo ishachris v'arvis. A person should accustom himself to relieve himself in the more early morning before it gets light, and at night after it becomes dark, k'dei shelo yehi tzarech l'esrachik, in order that he should not have to distance himself so much. So you see clearly that when one relieves oneself at night, one does not have to distance oneself so much. And here you say that Tanoa is somebody who distances himself at night as he would during the day. Vesu, Rava. Another question is that Rava, we know what Rava used to do is, be a mama have a ozil admil. During the day he would travel a whole mil to find a private place to relieve himself. And at night he would say to his servant, to the person who was serving him, "Pnuli duchta b'rochayva demasa, find a place for me in one of the city streets, a place where during the day is bustling with people, at night it's quiet, find me a quiet corner so I can relieve myself." V'chein omale Reb Zeira l'shamei, Reb Zeira said to the person who was serving him, "Chozi man de'ika achayri, beis chavraya de'be'ino lemifni, see who's around the study hall, the place where the people are hanging out, see if there's anyone there, if there's a private corner, because I need to relieve myself." And during the day, of course, he couldn't do it there because there was many people there. At night, he asked his shamash, "See if there's an empty corner there." So how can you say that Tzanua distanced himself at night as in the day? It says the Gemara, "Loi teima b'mokim, ele'ema kederach shenifne b'yom." When we saw in the Braisa, "Ezu Tzanua ze'anifne b'laylo," not b'mokim shenifne b'yom, not in the place, rather it means kederach shenifne b'yom, in the same way as in the day. You make sure you're covered, you make sure you don't speak to anyone, there's nobody else around, no one can see you. So too, in the night, you should keep to all those halachas of tznius. But you do not have to distance yourself that much if you can find a private corner closer by. Ravashi offers an alternative explanation. Afilu teima b'mokim. It could be that the Braisa says you should relieve yourself in the place that you would by day, at night. But it doesn't mean to always distance yourself so far. No. Just like in the day, where there's people around, then you find a secluded corner, so too at night, even though nobody can see you when you're in the open because it's dark and there's not a lot of people around, but if you have an opportunity of going to a secluded area behind a wall, which is even during the day, that's where you would do it, then at night you should also be careful to do it like that, and you should not relieve yourself in the open, even though nobody can see you, and it seems that it's tznius. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Lo'oilom yanig odom es atzmi shachris v'arvis k'deish lo yitzorech l'srachik. A person should accustom himself to relieve himself early in the morning and after it becomes dark, in order that he should not have to distance himself like he would if he would relieve himself during the day. Tanina mihochi, we found a brisa to this effect. Ben azay oimer, hashkem v'tzei, rise early in the morning and go out to relieve yourself. Harei v'tzei, wait for nightfall and then go out to relieve yourself. K'dei shelo tisrachik, in order that you should not have to go too far out, if you would relieve yourself during the day with more people and more light, then it's going to be harder to find a place closer by. Continues Ben Azai in the Braisa, Mashmesh v'shev v'al teshev utmashmesh. If a person has to move himself around a little bit using his hands or using a little stone in order to allow the bowels to get released quicker, he should do that before he sits down and not after he sits down. Shekol ha'yoshev u'mamashmesh, if somebody first sits down and then he opens up the opening to allow the bowels to come out easier, afilu oisim kshofim ba'aspamya, even those who are performing magic as far away as Aspamya, as Spain, boy and Elov are going to come to him, the spirits are going to come to him and cause him harm. Asks the Braisa, "Vi insha v'yosiv v'acharkach mishmesh, maitekante, what happens if somebody forgets? And he sits down and only afterwards he opens up the area to allow the bowels to come out. What should he do now that, as a remedy, that he should not get hurt by those spirits?" Says the Braisa, "Kikoi, when he rises, Lei Mahochi," you should say as follows. It's called the Lachash. "Loi li, loi li. Not upon me, not upon me. Loi teichim, veloi tachtim. Not the spirits called teichim, and not the spirits called tachtim should have any effect on me. Loi hani, not all of them. Veloi mehani, and not even some of them. Loi charshi de chorsha, neither a male sorcerer, v'loi charshi de charashto, and neither a female or sorceress, none of them should come upon me," and he will then be protected from these spells of these spirits. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, Benazai oimer, al kol mishkov shchav chutz min hakarka. You can lie on anywhere, on any couch except for on the ground. If you're lying down on a cold ground, you may catch a cold. It's not kedai. It's not worth it. Al kol moishav shev, you can sit on any chair, chutz min hakira, but do not sit on a beam, on some higher beam. You might fall off it. It's dangerous. Continues the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, sheino ba'amud ha-shachar, sleep at the beginning of day, at dawn, ka'istemo leparazilo. It's beneficial to the person, like a very strong steel coating is to a weaker iron rod. Yetzia ba'amud ha-shachar, going out at dawn to relieve oneself, is also as beneficial, ka'istemo leparazilo. Continues the Gemara, Bar Kapora hava mezavin mili bedinri. Bar Kapora, he would say words of good advice and he would sell his words for dinrim. He would charge for his words. And these are some of the things that he used to say. Ad dechafnas echol. Make sure to eat whilst you're still hungry. Because if you wait until you're already not hungry anymore, because a person only feels hungry up until a certain point, and then his stomach stops feeling hungry, even if he has not eaten. If he eats after that, then the food is less beneficial for him. Ad d'tzochis shsei. Make sure to drink whilst you're still feeling thirsty. If you wait until the feelings of thirst pass before drinking, the drink will be less effective. Ad d'roscho kidroch shfoich. The literal translation of these words are, while your pot is still boiling, pour it out. And really what it means is, whilst you feel that you need to relieve yourself and move your bowels, do it as soon as you can. Do not delay. The next thing he said was, Karno Corio Baromi. When you hear in Rome a horn sounding, that means that the fig buyers are making an announcement saying we are now ready to buy your figs and then we can take them to neighboring cities and towns and villages and sell them. So when you hear these horns, then bar mazvin te'ene, if you are the son of somebody who is growing or is selling figs, te'ene da'avuch zavin, make sure to sell your father's figs immediately. Don't wait until your father comes back from wherever he is. If you wait for that, by the time he comes back, the fig buyers may have left the town, and then there will be nobody to buy your father's figs. Continues the Gemara, Omalu Abaye l'Rabbonon. Abaye said to the Chachomim, Ki ayilisu b'shvile d'mechoiza. When you pass through the alleyways, going out towards the fields, b'shvile d'mechoiza l'meifak b'bechakla, to go out to the fields, Loi techazu, loi lehachkisa, loi lehachkisa. Do not gaze, do not stare, not to this side and not to that side. Dilma yosvi noshi. The version of our Gemara is like this, that might be women sitting there. Others say maybe anoshi, people are sitting there relieving themselves. V'lav oirech arulista kulabuhu. It's inappropriate to gaze at them. And the reason that the version is changed to anoshi, to other men sitting there relieving themselves, is because only then is it appropriate to say lav irach arit, inappropriate to gaze at them. If there were women sitting there, it's not just inappropriate to stare at them, it's actually severely also to stare at them. Continues the Gemara, Rav Safra ol lebeis hakisei. Rav Safra would enter the bathroom to relieve himself. Also Rav Abba nochar le'abova. Rav Abba came and he coughed at the door, signaling that he wants to enter. Omar Le, Rav Safra said to him, Le Ilmar, my master, you can come in. Bosa de Nofak, after Rav Safra left, Omar Le, Rav Abba said to him, and as a reproach, he was complaining to him, Ad hashta loy ayalt le seir, you have not yet gone to seir, to a place of seir, v'gomart loch mili de seir, and you've already learnt the negative practices of seir, and they are immodest in the bathrooms. Lav hochitnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah in Maseches Tomid, Madura hoisa shom, there was a fire there, referring to the Beis HaKisei that was in the Beis HaMikdosh, underneath, in the tunnels of the Beis HaMikdosh, Ubeis HaKisei shel kovoid, and there was a fire near the Beis HaKisei shel kovoid, which is called the bathroom of honor, What was the honor of those bathrooms? Motzei Na'ul, if you found it locked, Biodua, Sheyesham Odom, you know there was somebody in it. Maybe Na'ul means closed, but either way it was clear from the way the door was positioned that there was somebody in there. Motzei Pasuach, if the door was open, Biodua, Sheyin Sham Odom, then you know that there's nobody else there. Alma, Lav Oirach Aruhu, so we see it's inappropriate. Two things are inappropriate. Number one, it's inappropriate to speak. Had they not had this sign of the open or closed doors, then people would have to speak. Is there anyone in? Yes, I'm in. No, I'm not. They would have to speak. So they made a sign that if the door is closed, you know there's someone in. If it's open, you know that there's no one in there, which means it's inappropriate to speak, and it's also inappropriate that there should be two people in the bathroom together. And here, he complained that you, Rav Abba, came in or were prepared to... Rav Abba said to Rav Safra, number one, you spoke. Number two, you invited me in, and it's inappropriate to have two people in the bathroom at the same time. V'hul sovar masukanu, Rav Safra thought that Rav Abba was in danger, and that's why he told him to come in. The Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Amud ha-choizer mevies odom lidei hadroikon. If a person's bowels had started leaving and he then forces them back in, it can cause him a danger. It can cause him to become sick, an illness called hadroikon. Siloina choizer, if a person's urine had started streaming out and he forces himself to stop the stream, mevies odom lidei yarkoin, then he could get ill with an illness called yarkoin. So Rav Safra, who thought Rav Abba may be in danger, told him he should come in. Continues the Gemara. Rav Elazar ol lebeis hakisei. Rav Elazar was in the bathroom. Also, hahu parasah dochke. Some Persian, and the truth is that we change it, it's going to become apparent in the Gemara it wasn't a Persian, it was actually a Roman. He came in and pushed him aside. Kom Rav Elazar v'nofak. Rav Elazar arose and left. Also, drokoino. A snake came, shamte lekar kashe, and the snake ripped out part of this Roman's intestines. Korio le Rebelozo said on him, ve'etein odom tachtecho. The pasuk says, I'll put a person in your place, which means that instead of you receiving the danger, somebody else will receive the danger instead of you. Al tikra odom elo edoim. Don't read it Odom, read it Edom, somebody who comes from Edom, a Roman. And this is exactly what happened here in this story, that there was a snake there. The snake may well have harmed and killed Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar left, and the snake killed this Roman in his place. Continues the Gemara. Now, before we read the next Gemara, we have to know, Shaul HaMelech was chasing David HaMelech and wanted to kill him. At one point, David HaMelech was in a cave, and Shaul HaMelech was in the same cave. And David HaMelech had an opportunity to actually kill Shaul HaMelech, who was chasing David to kill him. And David HaMelech just waited on the side quietly, did not kill Shaul HaMelech. He waited till Shaul left the cave. He followed Shaul and told him, I could have killed you and didn't. There's much to be discussed on the history, but we're not learning Novi now. We're going to just see what the Gemara takes from this. Says the Gemara, David HaMelech said to Shaul, V'omar leharogcho, and he said to kill you, which means he said that he could have killed you, V'tochos alecho, and it protected you. Really what he was saying was, I could have killed you, and I had pity on you, and I protected you, I didn't kill you. So the Gemara says, V'omar, why does it say V'omar, and he said, V'omar timi boile, David HaMelech should have said, I said to myself that I could kill you, and I didn't. Vatochos, and it protected you. Vachasti mi boile, and I protected you. I chose not to kill you. Why does the pasuk say, Va'omar vatochos? The Gemara answers, Omer belozo, Omer loy David l'shol. David HaMelech said to Shaul HaMelech, Min ha-toira ben hariga ato. According to the Torah, you deserve to be killed. Shehari roidef ato. Because you are somebody who's looking to kill me, you are endangering my life. Vatayra omra, the Torah is the one that said, Haba lahargecha, hashkim lahargoi. If somebody comes to kill you, kill him first. So when it says, Va'omar, When David HaMelech said, Va'omar Lahargacha, who was Va'omar? The Torah said to kill you. What's Vatochos? Was it I, David HaMelech? No, I was supposed to kill you. But there was something else that was Vatochos that protected you. What was it? Elotznius Shahoisa Bacha Hichasu Alecha. This modesty that you displayed in the Beis HaKisei, that is what protected you. We'll soon see what the modesty was. Umayhi, what was the modesty that David HaMelech mentioned that stood Shaul in good cause that he shouldn't get killed? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayovoy el Gidrois Hatzoin al Haderech, and he, Shaul, came to the sheep pens along the road, Vashom Ma'ora, and there was a cave there, Vayovoy Shaul Lahosech Ezraglov, and Shaul came into the cave to shelter his feet, and that's where he relieved himself, he passed his bowels. And the Braisa says, Tana, from this posuk you see that he had three things. He passed Gidrei Satsoin, the gates of the pens, he saw a Ma'ora, a cave, and he was Hoseich Ezraglov. Let's see what these things mean. Says the Braisa, Tana, Godir Lifnim Migodir, he secluded himself in one gate within another gate. Uma'ora Lifnim Minama'ora, and one cave inside another cave. And that was the modesty that Shaul HaMelech displayed. And not only that, Lahoseich, what does it mean that he sheltered himself when he was relieving himself? Omre b'lozom lamei shesikeich atzmei kesuka. He covered himself completely when he was relieving himself, leaving no part of his body exposed. It was as if he was entirely inside the shelter, besides to being behind the gates and besides to being in a cave. And David saw this, and David had pity on him. And the Mefarshim explain here exactly what this means. If the Torah says that you have to kill him because he's endangering you, then how could you allow your pity or your respect for his modesty to not kill him? These are all topics that are discussed in the Mefarshim here. Continues the Gemara. Vayokom David. David arose. Vayichris his knaf hameil asher l'shol, and he cut off a corner of Shaul's cloak. Balot, he did it very quietly. Obviously, Shaul was not supposed to know that David was with him in the same cave. Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Kol amevaze es habegodim soif she'enu nena mehem. If somebody dishonors clothes, at the end he won't have any benefit from them. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Vamelech David zokin bo bayomim. David was getting old. He was getting aged. Vayichasu b'begodim, they covered him with garments. V'lo yicham loy, they would not warm him up. And the Gemara seems to say that this was as a punishment for the fact that he dishonored Shaul's clothes. He tore a corner of Shaul's cloak. The reason he did it was to be able to prove to Shaul that he was in there, that close to him, and nonetheless he didn't kill him. Says the Gemara. It says in the pasuk, Im Hashem hesitcho, B, Yorach Mincha. If Hashem incited you against me, let him accept as an offering David HaMelech's tefillah, and that way his anger, Shaul's anger, will calm down. Omer Beloza, Omer LeHaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. Hashem said to David HaMelech, Mesis Korisali, are you calling me an inciter? Because David HaMelech said, Im Hashem hesitcha bi, if Hashem incited you against me, Hashem says, I am an inciter? Hare ani machshilcha b'dovo shafilu tinoikos shal beis rabon yoydinoisai. The only being that incites people is the Yetzahara. And Hashem says, I protect you from the Yetzahara all the time. You're calling me that I incite you? If I take away my protection, that you should not be incited by the Yetzirah, watch what the Yetzirah can do to you. He's going to make you stumble on something that every school child knows that you didn't know, or you forgot. Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, Kisisa es roish b'nei Yisrael lifkudeyem, when you count Klal Yisrael, the heads of Klal Yisrael, v'nosnu ish koyz for nafshoy, then every person should give an atonement for his soul, etc. And the pasuk there says that the way you count somebody is by giving a machzis hashekel. You count the coins and you know how many people are there. Do not count the heads. And what happened here? Hashem took away his protection of David HaMelech, and the Yetzirah straight away said, Miyad v'yamid Satan al Yisrael. the inciter, the real inciter, is the Satan, the Yetzirah. He rose against Klal Yisrael. Uchsiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayoses es David, and the Yetzirah incited to David Bohem. Leich Meneas Yisrael, he incited David concerning Klal Yisrael, and he says, go count Klal Yisrael. Vekiven demoninu, leishokal minayu koifa. And when he counted them, when David HaMelech counted Klal Yisrael, he didn't take from them a coin, he counted the heads. Dichsiv, as it says, Vayitin Hashem dever b'Yisrael, Hashem gave a plague against Klal Yisrael, mea boike, from the morning, v'ad eis moed, until an appointed time. We'll soon see when that was. And it's because David HaMelech counted them, and he didn't take a koifer, therefore a plague destroyed Klal Yisrael. Asks the Gemara, my eis moed, what does it mean until an appointed time? How long was this plague for? Oma Shmuel Saba, chasne d'Reb Chanina, mishmed d'Reb Chanina. Shmuel Saba, who was the son-in-law of Reb Chanina, said in the name of his father-in-law Reb Chanina, Mishas Shchitas HaTomid, the plague started at the time when they would shech, they slaughtered the Korban Tomid of the morning, Ad Shaz Rikosu, until the time that they would sprinkle its blood. Reb Yechanan Omar, Ad Chatzos, Mamash Reb Yechanan says it was till midday, till the middle of the night. What happened at the plague? Vayoyimer l'maloch ha-mashchis ba'om rov. And he said to the angel that was destroying Klal Yisrael, he said to them, Rav, destroy many against the folk. Who was this many that Hashem told this malach to destroy? Omer belozo, Omer le'kodesh baruch hu le'malach. Hashem said to this angel, Toivli Rav Shebehem. Tulli Rav Shebehem, take for me the great one. Rav doesn't mean many, it means a great one. One that is equal to many. Sheyesh boi lipora mehem kama choivois. Because if one great tzaddik who is equal to many, many people gets taken, that will atone for the sins of many people. Bo'is eshoh meis Avishai ben Tzruya. At that point, Avishai ben Tzruya passed away. Sheshokul Karubo Shel Sanhedrin, he was equivalent and equal to most, to the great, to the majority part of the Sanhedrin. Continues the Gemara, Ukehishchis Ro'o Hashem Vainochim. Whilst the plague was going on, Hashem saw, and then he reconsidered, and he stopped the plague. The Gemara asks, my Ro'o, what did Hashem see that caused him to reconsider the plague and to stop the plague? Omer Rav, Rav says, Ro'o Yaakov Avinu, he saw the merits of Yaakov Avinu. The Torah that Yaakov Avinu learnt, Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Yaakov Kasher Ro'om. And Yaakov said when he saw the Malochim and he greeted them, so you see that it says in connection to Yaakov that he saw Ro'om. So in the same connection, when it says that Hashem saw, he saw Yaakov Avinu. Ushmuel Omer, Shmuel says, Afri Shel Yitzchok Ro'o. He saw the ashes that were from Yitzchok Avinu, Hashem, Shenemar, as it says, Elikim Yire Lo Yaseh, that Hashem will see for himself the sheep for the offering, my son. Hashem told Avraham Avinu, offer up the sheep instead of Yitzchok Avinu, and Hashem saw the ashes of this sheep that were in place of Yitzchok Avinu, and it was the schus of Yitzchok Avinu that Hashem saw, and that stopped the plague. Reb Yitzchok Nafcha Omar, Reb Yitzchok Nafcha suggests, Kesef Kippurim Ro'o. He saw the money that they gave, the Machzis HaShekel, when Klal Yisrael were very first time counted, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'lokachto es kesef ha-kippurim, and you shall take the money of the atonement, Me'is B'nei Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael. Hashem saw those shkolim, and then he reconsidered the plague. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan gives a fourth suggestion, Beis HaMikdosh Ro'o, he saw the schus of the Beis HaMikdosh, that was going to be built, Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Bahar Hashem Yeiro'eh, that on the mountain of Hashem he will show himself. So you see that the Beis HaMikdosh is associated with seeing. So here too Hashem saw and he reconsidered the plague. And now we're going to see a Braisa, Pligi Bar Reb Yaakov Bar Idi Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeini. And the same topic, what did Hashem see? The two Tanoim arguing. Chad Omar Kesef Kippurim Ro, one saw the money of the atonements That was the shkolim that they gave when they were first counted. V'chad omar beis hamikdash ra'a. These were the last two opinions we saw before. There's actually an argument here between Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi and Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. U'mistabra k'mand omar beis hamikdash ra'a. It's probable that what actually caused Hashem to reconsider the plague was the beis hamikdash. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Asher yomer ayin behar Hashem yiroi, as we saw before, the beis hamikdash is a mountain which associated to it Hashem shows himself. So here too, when it says that Hashem saw and reconsidered the plague, he saw the schus of the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara, we're now going back to the Mishnah. Lo yikonis odom lehar habayis b'maklo, a person may not enter the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, with his stick, and he's not allowed to make the Har HaBayis a kapandria. You mustn't make a shortcut through Har HaBayis. If you want to get from one side of the mountain to the other, don't cut through the top. Asks the Gemara, my kapandria, what does kapandria mean? Omar Rav, kapandria kishma? What it means? Well, kishma as its name. And the Gemara is going to explain this now. What is the name of kapandria? What do the words or the letters that comprise kapandria tell us? Rav Chana bar Ada, Mishmeder of Samo, Breder of Mori Omar, Commander Omar Inish. It's like people say, Adamakifno, instead of going all the way round the row of houses, Adori, Oil Baha. Instead of going round all the homes, I'm going to go into one of them and go out at the back of the other one. And the words, Adamakifno, Adori, which means instead of going around, in the word Adamakifno, you've got a kof and a pei and a nun, and in the words Adori, you've got the Dalad Reish Yud together, it's Kapandria. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Hanichnas lebeis HaKnesses, Almanos Sheloila Soisei Kapandria. If you're going into a shul, not the Beis HaMikdash, we're now going to the halachas of a shul. You go into a shul, and you're not intending to make it a shortcut. You're going in because you need to be in there. Mutala Soisei Kapandria, one is permitted to leave from an entrance that will make it shortest for him to continue on his journey. He does not have to make sure to specially go out from the door he came in and avoid cutting through the shul. Rebavo Omar, another halacha, Im hoyo shvil mi'ikori, if where the shul was built, there used to be a path and people used to cut through and somebody decided to put a shul there, mutar, then you're allowed to walk through the shul as you would have done before the shul was there in order to have this shortcut. Another halacha, Omer of Reb Chelbo, Omer of Huna, Hanichnas lebeis haknesses leispalil, if somebody goes into the shul in order to daven, Mutzul la'asoysoy kapandria, then when he's finished davening, he's allowed to leave from the exit that would make it quickest to where he has to go. And the Mefarashim ask that why is this, what are we adding? We said before, if you go into the shul not in order to make it a shortcut, you're allowed to make the shortcut. Why is it changed? What's the added chiddush over here? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ubevoi am ha'oretz lifnei Hashem b'moyadim, the Pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael would come to Hashem on the Yomim Toivim, then it says that one who would enter from the northern side, he would leave from the south, and somebody who enters by the south would leave from the north. So you see that you are allowed to cut through the Har HaBayis on condition that you're not coming through in order to cut through, you're there in order to come to be Oyel Regel. And then you're allowed to leave from the way that's going to be the shortest home. Continues the Mishnah, Urakiko Mikal Vachoymer. We learn from a Kal Vachoymer that one is not allowed to spit on the Har HaBayis. And the Mishnah doesn't tell us exactly where the Kal Vachoymer is from. That's soon going to be discussed in the Gemara. In the meantime, Omer of Bivi, Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Horoikeik b'Har HaBayis b'zman hazeh. If somebody spits on the Har HaBayis today, nowadays, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, Ki'ilu Roikeik b'bas Einui. It's as if he spits in the pupil of his eye. Shenemar, as it says, regarding Hashem's connection to the Beis HaMikdash, V'hoyu Einei V'libi Shom Kol HaYomim. My eyes and heart are there on all days, for all of time, and therefore even today, if one spits there, it's like spitting in Hashem's eyes. Omar Rava, we're now going to discuss spitting in a shul. Rakiko b'beis haknesses sharia. One is allowed to spit in a shul. Midi dehava aminol. You can learn that out from min'ol, from wearing shoes. Ma min'ol b'har habayis osur b'beis hakneses mutar. We know that you're not allowed to wear your shoes when going on har habayis. You are allowed to wear shoes in the shul. So therefore, afrakiko, so too spitting, b'har habayis hu d'osa, it's also in the har habayis, b'beis hakneses shori, and in the beis hakneses it will be mutar. Omar leir of popular over. V'omri lir avina l'rova, v'omri lor of adabar masna l'rova. There's a discussion who said to Rova, but one of the Amiroim said to Rova, Ande yolef mi min'ol, nelef mi kapandria. Why are you learning out from min'ol? In the same way as you can use your shoes in a shul, so too you can spit in a shul, why don't you learn from kapandria, that in the same way that kapandria is also in a shul, so too spitting is also in a shul? Omale, so Rava responded as follows, Tana yolef mi minol v'at omris mi kapandria? The Tana in the Mishnah that learns out, or we're going to see in the Braisa, learns the halachas of spitting from shoes. And you want me to learn the halachas of spitting from kapandria? Maihi, where did the Tana learn spitting from the shoes? The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, Lo ikonis odom laharabayis, one may not go into the harabayis, lo not with the stick in his hand, nor with the shoes on his feet, or the money tied into his cloth, into his kerchief, or with his money belt hung outside his clothing, and you're not allowed to make a shortcut through harabais. Till now it's similar to what we had in the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah it says, Urukiko mi kal v'choyme, you learn out the prohibition of spitting from kal v'choyme. It doesn't tell us from where. Here the Braisa says explicitly you learn it out from min'ol, that if going into the har habayis with shoes is osa, then kal v'choyme spitting on har habayis is also osa. Uma min'ol, if regarding wearing one's shoes, she'ein bo derech bizoyen, there's nothing particularly disrespectful with it. Omro Torah shal na'alcho me'al raglecho, and nonetheless the Torah says that when you come to the mokim amikdosh, you should remove your shoes from your feet. Rekiko she'i derech bizoyen, but spitting, which is certainly disrespectful, lo kol shekein, is it not taken for granted that it will be prohibited to spit on the har habayis? Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Omer, Einei Tzorich. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda argues and says, I don't need a kal v'chayme for proof that one is not allowed to spit on the har habayis. Harei Omer, it does it not say in the Pasuk, in Megillas Esther, Ki ein lovoy el shar hamelech belevush sok. It's inappropriate to come to the gates of the king with sackcloth. V'le dvarim kal v'chayme. Is it not a kal v'chayme? Uma sok. If wearing sackcloth, she'ene mos, which is not particularly repulsive, lifnei bosa rodom, and you're coming just in front of a human king of flesh and blood, and nonetheless it's inappropriate, kach even more so rakika, spitting, which is clearly repulsive, shehima usa, it's repulsive, and lifnei melech malcham lochem, we're not talking about regular king, we're talking about the king of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lekolshkein, even more so, it's inappropriate to spit. So let's recap. Rava said that one learns out that one is permitted to spit in a shul in the same way as one is permitted to go with shoes in a shul. Rav Popper asked Rava, possibly Rav Popper, possibly others, but let's assume Rav Popper asked Rava that how can you learn, why should you learn out spitting from the shoes? And then Rava said, what do you mean? We have a braisa that says you learn out spitting from shoes. So what was Rav Popper's question? So says the Gemara, Omar lei ana hochika amina. Rav Popper said, this is what I meant to ask you. Neima hocha l'chumra v'hocha l'chumra. We should go at both ends l'chumra. It's true that in the Beis Hamikdash way, one is not allowed to go with shoes. You can learn from there that if you're not allowed to go with shoes, which is not repulsive in any way, then of course you're not allowed to spit, which is disrespectful. And that's a chumra. But over here, when one is permitted to go with shoes in a shul, why would you learn from there that one's also permitted to spit. Spitting is much less respectful than wearing shoes. So to learn an Issa in the Beis HaMikdash, you can learn from the shoes, but you can't really learn a Heta from the fact that you can wear shoes. And Rashi is the one that adds in that says you cannot learn a kal v'chomer, you can't really learn from the shoes because the shoes are more respectful than spitting. So allowing shoes is not really a good reason to allow spitting. And on the contrary, you should learn from kapandria, which is less respectful than wearing shoes. It's making a shortcut, and if making a shortcut is going to be asa, so too spitting should be asa. And that was the question that Rav Papa posed to Rava. Elo Amar Rava. Rava says you're right, but I'll give you a different proof as to why it's mutter to spit in a shul, even though it's asa to make it a kapandria. Ki beisoi, similar to one's own home. Ma beisoi, regarding a person's own home. A kapandria kopidinish. A person doesn't want people just to make a shortcut going through his home. Nonetheless, arakika umin al loy kopidinish. A person is not makpid if a person walks in his house with shoes, or if a person spits. In the olden days, spitting was not such a disrespectful thing. Af beisakneses, so in a shul too. Kapandria huda osar, only kapandria is osar, like a person's own home, he does not appreciate his home being used as a shortcut. Rakika or minal, but wearing shoes and spitting, shori is muta. And Emir Tzeshem, we're going to carry on from here in the next shiur.